Right on. It's been great to be here. I was thinking here and singing. Well, I wasn't singing some of the German songs, but it was good to bring back a lot of memories of being a child and being in this church and singing some of the German songs. So appreciate that, Peter. And Megan, thank you so much for singing that song. It ties in very well with what I want to share with you today. So thanks for inviting us. Deb and I just always enjoy coming back to Glen Cross here and meeting old friends. Uncle Frank told me I was almost a foreigner here. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it's good. Even though I'm not going to be sharing this morning about Children's Camps International, I do want to thank you, though, as a church, for supporting the ministry. There's a number of you here this morning, I know you, support the ministry in various ways, and I just want to give you a huge thank you on how you are impacting thousands of children in developing countries. So thank you so much. Children's Camps International continues to grow, and we're faced every week with new opportunities in different countries. And so please pray for us as a staff as we discern some of these decisions. I do want to say one thing, though, and that is this year we could be reaching a milestone. And it's this milestone we never thought we would reach before, for a number of years. But this year, we have, depending on what all happens, we have the opportunity of sending over 1 million children to camp, accumulatively, through the 6 years that Children's Camps International has been running. So that's pretty cool. That's something that Ray Wheeler only dreamt would happen in his lifetime. And so we thank God for blessing CCI and us as a staff. And we just keep on hanging on for the ride. See what God's going to do next. So it's pretty exciting. Now, I'm not sure if you have been going through an Advent series in the church here or some sort of theme this Christmas season, but this morning I thought I would share some thoughts on perhaps a bit of a different focus as opposed to some of the traditional topics and themes that we often talk about during the Christmas season. And so this morning I want to spend time learning from the character of Mary, and that's why the song ties in so well with what we want to share today. And what we learn from Mary is very, very practical. And what I want to share this morning, we all know. This is something that we've probably heard many, many times. But if you're like me, I have to kind of get kicked in the butt every once in a while and remind myself time and time again. And so I trust that what we learn this morning, we can reapply, all right, to each of our lives here this morning. Now, years ago, I've realized something, and that is that mothers can teach us a lot if we actually listen to them. And now, I didn't always think that way, but I do now. And several years ago, there was a newspaper in Tennessee, and they had a story of a police chief by the name of Phil Keith, and who, during a televised city council meeting, was startled to see his mother's phone number come up on his pager. And so he rushed from the press table and he took out his cell phone and he anxiously dialed her number to make sure that she was all right. And she answered, Phil, are you chewing gum? And see, Mom was watching this on the television. And he says, yes, Mom, I am. Well, spit it out, it looks awful. So what could he do, right? So he dutifully removed the gum from his mouth and he went back to his meeting. Now, maybe you know of some mothers that might do something like that, no matter how old their child would be. Maybe you are mothers that would do something like that. Now, for us, we have actually a son in the police force. And so I would feel very extremely embarrassed if Deb would make that call and tell him to spit out some gum. But if you're a mother, one of the reasons God has you on this earth is to teach your kids lessons of life and for life. Now, here's a question you might have never asked yourself, and I want you to think about this morning. What did Mary, Jesus' mother, teach him? What did Mary's mother teach Jesus? Now, Mary was one of the one person on earth closer to Jesus than anybody else. And she knew Jesus in a way that nobody else ever has or ever will know him. You see, not just as a savior, but as a son. Not just as the Almighty God, but as the helpless baby that she held in her arms. Now, Mary was probably a teenager, we know, when she gave birth to the Lord, but she showed wisdom, she showed maturity, she showed love that many older people never obtain. And I believe that some people, maybe especially in the Roman Catholic Church, kind of overestimate the importance of Mary by lifting her up almost as equal with God. But I also think that us Protestants underestimate the importance of Jesus' mother as a model for how God works in the lives of ordinary people just like you and me. And so this morning I want to look at three lessons that we learn from the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they're found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn there. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And we're going to be reading portions of this scripture. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Now Mary would have, I don't think, never realized at the time the impact she would make on others thousands of years later today because of her devotion to God. And it's because that she paid attention to God by her devotion to God through prayer that we learn these lessons today. So the first one is this. No matter who you are, the Lord can use you. Let's read Luke chapter 26, or 1 verse 26 and 27. It says this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin name was Mary. Let me ask you something. Do you remember the last time you filled out a job application form? You know, you have to give them all your vital statistics. You have to summarize your background, your education, your experience, all that kind of stuff. And many of them right now, they ask that all-important question. And that's, what is it that makes you uniquely qualified for this position? Right? Now, how do you answer that without coming across kind of overconfident or a bit of a snob? Now, employers assume that they assume your availability, but what they really want to discover is your liabilities. In other words, the things that make you unsuited for the job. And then also your usability. In other words, what skills or talents will help you get the job. But you see, God doesn't operate that way. Mary teaches us that God is not interested in our abilities as he is in our availability, and we know that. No matter who you are, God can use you. And in verse 26 and 27, we read this. It paints a picture of an ordinary girl with some serious liabilities. First of all, she's young. She was pledged to be married. Now, at the time, it was actually customary for girls to be engaged as young as 12 to 13 years old, around the time of puberty. And one of the reasons for that was to ensure girls maintain their virginity until marriage. Now, it's very possible that Mary could have been that young, or even as old as 16 years old, when Gabriel visited her. Now, you and I might think this girl is too young for God to use her, but God obviously didn't think so. So, another liability was that she was poor. That's our second liability. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 24, it says that Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. And they were required to bring one of two offerings there, either a lamb for a burnt offering, or a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering. Now, if a lamb was too expensive, the parents would bring a second dove or a pigeon instead. And so what happened was that Mary and Joseph brought two doves because they couldn't afford the lamb. Now, you and I might have thought that this family was too poor to provide for Jesus, but apparently God didn't think so. So she's young and she's poor. Now, there's another liability against her, and that was that she was from Nazareth. Now, apparently Mary was this young girl from, we'd call it maybe the wrong side of the tracks, right? It was a town with a bad reputation. Remember what Nathanael said when he learned Jesus was from Nazareth. It says in John chapter 1, verse 46, it says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, you and I might have thought, you know, no way. There's no telling what this girl has been seeing and hearing and doing in this bad town like that. But apparently, God didn't take that into consideration in choosing Mary to be mother to his son. So she's young, she's poor, she's from Nazareth. All these characteristics make her seem unusable by God. But God chose Mary for one of the most important jobs he has ever asked anyone to do. Through God's choice of Mary, he teaches us that no matter who you are, the Lord can use you. Maybe some of you kids here this morning, or teens here, think you're too young. I thought of this, and as a youth pastor for many years, and even today as I interact with teens, I continually encourage them. You aren't too young. You're not too insignificant. God will use you in this church, in your school, and in your peers. You are influential life changers in this world, and I'm sure your new youth pastor would feel the same way. Maybe some of you think that maybe we don't have enough money, or we don't have enough talent to God to use you. You might think your background or past mistakes make it impossible for God to use you. I want to encourage each one of us today that we should not limit God. God can use you if you trust him. You know what's interesting? Out of all the queens and all the princesses and daughters of wealthy, influential people, God chose this poor teenager from a town with a bad reputation to be the mother of Jesus. Very interesting, isn't it? You see, Mary had two vital characteristics that God looks for: humility and faith. She knew she wasn't worthy of the honor God offered her, yet she still believed God could use her if she trusted him. You see, Christmas, for Mary, was the challenge of understanding what the favor of God is truly all about. And Mary was about to learn that being highly favored by God does not mean a life of unbroken happiness, and it does not promise that all your dreams will come true. You see, there is a tremendous price to be paid by those who are highly favored by God. Favor simply means that God is willing to use you. And I guess the question I want to challenge you this morning is, do you believe God can use you? Or do you think that you are too small, or insignificant, or too young, or too poor, too weak to be used by him? If you think you're too small or insignificant to be effective, then I think you've never been in bed with a mosquito, right? Experiencing the favor of God in new ways is one of the best parts of Christmas for us. And to think that God would desire to use us at this time in history is a gift that we would never imagine we would find under this Christmas tree of life, if we want to call it that. Have you ever prayed that prayer, God, please use me? That's a dangerous prayer to pray, isn't it? But do you have the nerve to pray that prayer and be willing to obey God in whatever he sends your way? God is searching for humble people to take part in his amazing plans. And Mary teaches us, no matter who you are, God can use you. Lesson number two. No matter what problems you face, the Lord is with you. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 to 33. Let's read that. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be great, and you will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. You know, there are some things that you just don't want to go through alone. Christmas, for example. I don't know if anyone would like to go through Christmas alone. There may be few people. But most of us want to share this celebration with people that are near to us and dear to us. We don't like to go through trouble alone either. When you lose your job, when you lose a spouse or a child, you need someone to be with you, to help you make it through that. And of course, that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary teaches us that no matter what problems you face, that the Lord is with you. The angel said in verse 30, simple words, do not be afraid. I don't think we would blame Mary if she was afraid, though, right? Imagine the fears that she would have experienced as a result of her pregnancy. First, there is the possibility of divorce from Joseph. Joseph at first assumes that Mary's been unfaithful to her. Imagine if you were Joseph. What else would you have thought? He decides to divorce her, which, according to their law, was necessary to end this engagement. But then he was told in a dream that Mary's baby was, in fact, conceived by the Holy Spirit. But right now, Mary doesn't know how all this stuff is going to work out. She has no idea. But she does know that God's going to be with her, even if Joseph decides to take off. Then there was the possibility of rejection by her family. Number two, you think that Mary's family would believe that story, that the baby growing inside of her was the Son of God? Would you believe that story if your daughter came home and said that to you? I'm sure you wouldn't. But it's very interesting because we are never told in the Bible anything about Mary's parents' reaction to her pregnancy. And it's very possible that they didn't believe that story either. But Mary believes that God is with her no matter how her parents will react. And then there was the certain rejection by the community. That's another one. Imagine the gossip that must have been circulating around Nazareth. People would have accused her of adultery, which is a sin that is not looked as lightly as it is now. It's likely that Mary was shunned by those who were once her friends. But let's remember that Mary believed that God was with her, even if her friends would abandon her. And then finally, there was the possibility of death by stoning. Now, according to the law, this was the penalty for adultery. By New Testament times, stoning was a bit more rare, but it was still a possibility. And so the message from the angel totally changed Mary's life. She was getting ready to be married and live a normal life, but now her life would be anything but normal. So the question is, how could she be calm and courageous as she faced all the problems that her pregnancy might cause? Well, she'd cling to those words that the angel spoke to her in verse 28. It says, "The Lord is with you." The Lord would be with her. He would help her. And he would give her strength and courage to face anything. And that same Lord makes that same promise to you and I. Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Hebrews 13:5, he says, "For he himself has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you." Familiar verses. And Mary's story teaches us that no matter what problems you face, the Lord is with you. And Mary faced the possibility of rejection from Joseph, rejection from her family, rejection from her community, and even the possibility of being stoned. But she knew that the Lord would never abandon her. You see, one of the titles given to Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. And one of the great themes of the Old Testament is the concept of God living with his people. Jesus is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. There's an author named Ingrid Trobisch, and she writes this. Says, "If you can live one day with Jesus, you can live every day with him, each one as it comes. Human life was meant to be dramatic. We are meant to be God-inhabited. And our faith is not organized around keeping God at a distance. It allows us to go to him when we want. If we really want God to be with us, then our lives will be extremely different from ordinary human life." You see, Jesus came to make God's presence a conscious, living reality in our lives. And whatever problems you're facing today, whatever worries or fears we are facing today, let us not get discouraged because the Lord is with us. Bring those problems to him and trust him to work them out just as surely he worked them out for Mary. And then lesson number three. No matter what he promises, the Lord can do it. Verse 34 to 38. Follow along. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And She who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. A little boy asked his mother where he came from, and also where she came from as a baby. And so his mother told him this make-believe story about this big white feathered bird that came and brought him to her. And so the boy ran into the next room and he asked his grandmother the same question and was told a different variation but of the same bird story. And so he scampers outside and wants to play with his friends and he says to them, you know, there hasn't been a normal birth in our family for three generations, he says. You see, the Bible records several instances where there is not a normal birth. For example, God sent a son to Abraham and Sarah long after they thought having a baby would be impossible. Another one would be Samuel, the first prophet, was an answer to the faithful, persevering prayers of his godly mother, Hannah. And also John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, was in her 60s or 70s, it says, when she gave birth to him. But none of these special births was as amazing as the birth of Jesus Christ because it was a virgin birth. Now, when we talk about the virgin birth, we mean that Jesus was conceived in the womb by his mother Mary by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit without a human father. Now, let's remember that this doesn't sound any normal or more normal today than it did back then. Let's realize that. But look at Mary's reaction in verse 38. It says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Even though the angel's news was unbelievable, she believed it. Mary didn't understand it, but she also didn't doubt it. She believed that no matter what he has promised, the Lord can do it. And we need to admit that for all these centuries later, Jesus' miraculous conception still is impossible for us to understand. And God chose not to explain the details of it to us. But the real issue is not whether a virgin can conceive. The real issue is whether anything is impossible for God. And the important question to ask is, why is this virgin birth important? Well, it shows that salvation must ultimately come from the Lord. And the virgin birth of Jesus is a reminder that salvation can never come through human effort, but must be the work of God himself. Our salvation only comes through the work of God. And that was evident at the very beginning of Jesus' life, when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and not by a man. This birth, also made possible by the uniting of full deity and full humanity all in one person. He was both fully human and also fully God. And he had to be in order to be our Savior. He had to be human because only human beings like us could pay the price for sins on a cross. And he had to be God because only God was perfect enough to pay for our sins. In other words, the virgin birth allowed Jesus to be at the same time completely God and completely man. He was the Son of God and he was the Son of man. Talk show host Larry King years ago, he was asked this question. He says, if you could select any one person across all of history to interview, who would it be? And Mr. King asked that he would like to interview Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And then Mr. King was asked, what would you like to ask him? And he said, I would like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born. The answer to that question would define history for me. Interesting. And you know, Mr. King is right. The virgin birth of Christ is tied both to who he is and what he came to do. Mary knew that a virgin birth was impossible, but she also believed that nothing is impossible with God. Whatever God promises, he will do it. Another question would be, what promises of God are you tempted or are you doubting today? Maybe you're reading your Bible one day and your eyes just light up at one of the promises of God. A promise not for Israel, a promise not just for the Jews, but a promise to whoever believes. John 11:26 says, "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do we believe that? 1 John 5:14, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us." Do you ever read promises like these and say, you know, yeah, right, like as if that's going to happen to me? Not for me, not now, not after all I've been through. But these promises are made by God. It doesn't matter how impossible they seem, there is nothing impossible with God. Whatever he promises, he always does. And what you have to do is what Mary did, and believe and say this: "Let it be to me according to your word, O Lord." There's a quote that says this: "Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul." And that's the way it worked for Mary, and that's the way it can work for you and I. We don't really know what Jesus learned from his mother. We don't really know the impact of her life was on him, or how much of who he grew up to be was a reflection of the love and character of his mom. We don't really know that. But God has left the record of what this young mother named Mary can teach you and I. No matter who you are, God can use us. No matter what problems we face, the Lord is with us. And no matter what he promises, the Lord can do it. You know, Christmas is not only about this holiday spirit that rushes in our bodies and compels us to shop and to spend and to eat, even though those are kind of fun things to do. But instead, Christmas is about the Holy Spirit bringing peace and joy through this baby boy to this messy planet Earth that we live in. It's all about the power of heaven's reality invading our lives. You see, Christmas begins the moment a person realizes the longing that has always existed to be overshadowed by all that he is and all that he does. It happened for Mary, and it can happen for you and I. So perhaps an appropriate prayer to pray this Christmas would be this: Holy Spirit, overshadow me. Overshadow my dreams, my preferences, and my opinions, and birth something new and something huge in me. Create something in me that will change this generation for the kingdom of Christ. I trust that each one of you can pray that prayer this Christmas season. Thank you.